There we go. All right. Thank you. To be fair, I feel like if you wanted to.
Thank you. Thank you. I will start the meeting in 1 minute and representatives of this. Let's start in 30 seconds, please have your seats. Yes, I'm going to be a job for 6. Okay, it's 4:46. We will start the meeting. John, can you give us a roll call?
Thomas Paul. Neil Barbary. Alex Chattery. Yep. Olivia Korn. Renee Cornell. Zarun Devata. Omar Dean. Osai Agarepa, Haris Hassan, Natalia Hernandez, Rebecca Harris, Matthew Enemy, Tisruta Iravanti, Gabriel Kaufman, Savannah Lynn, Lee Lipschitz, Demi Niakaro, Sarah Park, Grace Park, Marco Peralta Ochoa, Samantha Romero Zavala, Christopher Shaw, Evan Shapiro, Jaywon Sim, Dara Tokumbo, Myra Valdez, Ian Wallace, Jungwon Kim.
I will go to my friend.
If any members of the community would like to speak, ask any questions, you can come up at this time. All right, with that, we'll be closing the microphone.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to take 30 seconds. We're going to look over the group. If it all looks good, then please be cautious of the group. Can you speak up to that?
Natalia. his name?
Huh?
It's spelled wrong.
Yes.
Can you remember the second game? President. Not badly. The entire people in the beach. Heard your thing.
Oh, you mean 40? Okay, so regardless, that's the
conference for student leaders, and so I'm very glad to announce that we are actually going to make that happen. So the mission of the summit, so it's going to be called SAS D&I Summit, it's to bring together leaders of student organizations to share D&I strategies, initiatives, and challenges. Making Cornell a more inclusive community, campus community starts with individuals, but all undergraduate student organizations play a crucial role in cultivating communication and mutual respect between students of different backgrounds and social identities. So we are currently in the process of reaching out to organizations that, you know, maybe don't spring diverse inclusion, but are currently in the process of implementing amazing D&I strategies. And so we're going to be inviting leaders of all bylaw organizations in addition to some work that the University Committee on SA finds fit to invite. And we are anticipating hopefully an attendance of around 100 people. We're in the process of selecting a keynote speaker, and that keynote will be open to the entire campus community. But just something that's to put on your radar, it's going to be Sunday, March 18th, from 10 to 4 p.m. So please keep a lookout for that. I'll be working with ComCom to draft a flyer, and then that will be sent to y'all. Hopefully, when the speaker and the workshop leaders are solidified, hopefully it will be in a half or so. So thanks for all y'all who have helped so far, and I hope that you all will be engaged and attend the conference.
Thank you, Ms. Dale.
So Emma Banger, our dynamic HR, was originally going to come to the meeting to give you a report, but she was unable to at the last moment. In her absence, I would just like to update you all that thanks to the dynamic committee's work, Trillium will now have extended hours, Monday through Thursday. They will be open both during the day from 8 to 3 and again from 7 to 9 p.m. Every Monday through Thursday to the
So I have two announcements. The first concerns the University Assembly Campus Infrastructure Committee, which looks at infrastructure issues across campus. We're currently looking for new members. We have a lot of members and projects that we're trying to pursue to improve sustainability and sustainability on campus. One of those is holistic new energy policy, which is one of the things we last semester is to kind of focus more on opportunistic standards and new energy as part of sustainability efforts. Another initiative will be carbon offsets from business travel, taxing soda water bottles on campus. efforts into a university-wide union reservation to make those easier, prioritize the immigration to serve the workers, gender neutral bathrooms, and then there'll be some products. If any of those sound interesting to you, please feel free to reach out to me in Wallace. We'll do some very interesting not using really good instruction.
So you said taxing one of those
cost of dollars.
What would that money be going towards? Because that will ensure that you're taking away students' money.
Yeah, so that would be a part of consideration if you were to join the committee. That's the one.
I think you guys had a job.
Yeah, the committee meets every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. right now, so and we get through. And then our second announcement was concerning international students. So right now, there's been a push across the United States with multiple economics departments to recertify STEM programs. What that means for international students is that they're able to extend their overseas certification for work authorization by an additional 2 years. So they can stay for 3 years post graduation in their own country, and rather than just one as part of a STEM program. A lot of other universities like Yale, MIT Princeton, and obviously Williams, Mobley College, and the University of Wisconsin Max have all done these programs, and the programs are really like almost identical to ours. So that's required. There's really no big differences, so I've reached out to the faculty senate and multiple professors within the economics department to try to get this program to increase the prepared programs as well, and just really only about the identities to national students in the faculty to study economics.
Thank you. We've exhausted the announcements and reports. We'll go straight into business. Councilor, the floor. Whenever you're ready.
So the first thing that I want to say is that this is a byline or a bylaw. This is
not very bad. There's been a motion to open the panel.
Okay, can I just say this? Adding the veterans exit this year representative to the student assembly.
Okay. Can I have a second? This is in a second. All right, we're in dissent. If there's not, we'll that's what we're going to do.
Cool. So thank you. So the first thing I want to say is this bylaws amendment. So we're going to have to wait until next week to pass this. I'm just going to hand it off to Boo over here, who's the president of Cuba, to tell you a little bit about the experience he's had at everyone on campus, as well as the experience that he's had.
Thank you very much. As Marie said, my name is Luke Obeya. I'm the president of the Cornell Undergraduate Veterans Association of Energy, president of the Cornell Veterans Student Veterans and Parent Chapter, and the president of the Ivy Veterans Council, which is a nonprofit organization that aims to address the issue of Black veterans and top veterans institutions across the country. Thank you very much for having us. Before I talk about my experience, I'd like to talk about our organization and what we do. 2 years ago, there was a transfer that I had to be James or transferred here to Cornell University and experienced some serious issues with a lot of the days because of his being a veteran. one of which was the financial aid issues, big component of veterans' educational success here at the Institute of Medicine. They don't have to worry about paying for their education because of the post-9/11 GI Bill. And that only pays for a portion of a student veteran's tuition, but there's also a supplemental program called the Yellow Ribbon Program, which is a federal program from our partners with the VA for it, to fund $1 for the remainder of the cost of the tuition that the GI Bill is not covered. And Seamus has pointed out that so few Yellow Ribbon spots did not get a Yellow Ribbon spot his first semester here at Cornell. And so he had to take out a pretty big student loan. And because of that, he just kind of wondered, were other student veterans experiencing the same thing? And so he went to the university administration to try to get this, all the student veterans here at Cornell, but because of federal protections, he was not allowed access to that list. And was offered a alternative to go have a kiosk right outside the military hall and like, sell some pizzas and something and find some veterans here and now. So he just kind of searched around campus for veterans and found a cohort of veterans and founded the Cornell Undergraduate Veterans Association for all the undergraduate veterans here at Cornell. Currently at Cornell, there's 23 student veterans in the undergraduate community, which is very few, but as we name the provost, just released an initiative to get a minimum of 100 veterans here by the fall of 2020. And so I believe that this position, while it would represent a few of us now, it would be to the future having a bigger representation of the student body and further veterans in this community. So, I'm happy to answer any questions that
you have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Steve.
Hi, thanks so much for being here today. The first thing I want to say is I absolutely support veterans on campus, and I think that the university doesn't do enough to help you guys. So that's just the first thing. So now looking at the quality of the project, I don't support putting a veterans ex officio seat on the assembly. I do not think that there are enough veterans on campus to warrant such a seat. In my opinion, there are hundreds, if not like there are about 1,000 clubs on campus that have approximately similar on average membership or more than this organization. And while what you do is extremely important, and who you are is an important part of your identity, if we were to give you a seat, I can't see a reason why we wouldn't give 1,000 organizations a seat, because differentiating between them is extremely challenging, and every organization thinks that they're extremely important, and they are important. So I just want to say, I don't think the Assembly should amend its bylaws to create seats for the veterans. But I do strongly think that we should offer our support to you where possible, and I encourage everyone who's a veteran to like run for the student assembly, run for the current position that we have, which I think are our first position.
To respond to the questions and responses.
Well, I would say in defense to that the issue is it kind of transcends the amount of student veterans that are here on campus. What we see as an organization is proportional representation within the, that meets, that's equivalent to the national demographic. If that were the case, then about 6% of the student body would be veterans, and right now that's not the case. And so while there's, a lack of veterans that would really fulfill like the proportional representation of this university now, the aim would to, set the precedent in this organization by saying that that's an issue that the university should address.
Ms. Olivia?
What's that? Thank you. So,
It sounds like the case where I'm American, but this is something that's not serious, but that's the whole idea of amending our communities. We're here because there's something that can't consider the biggest consequences like these. And so I think it's really important that I'm also acknowledge that. There's about 20 kindergartens now, and the pool is at 100% as a person. And so when it comes to that, I think it's also recognize that the eventual goal is that
Olivia.
Okay, so I do have a question, but I want to address something that I heard. I completely 100% disagree with you. I think that there is absolutely my question has to do with the fact that it's an efficacy of positions, which I believe is non-voting. So my question was, why are you going for a non-voting position versus a voting position? Because I would be fine with giving you guys, you know, like something, but to be perfectly honest, I just find very problematic what you said, because if you really have a point, just we're supposed to be representing underrepresented communities and veterans who face a really difficult challenge on this campus, especially when it comes to finances, when it comes to things that they have to deal with. And I think that if you're saying, oh, we're not going to be seeking as much as everybody else is seeking, you're saying, oh, okay, you might be having struggles, but everyone's having struggles, so you're supposed to be able to do that.
Yeah, so
I wish you had a
response to that. So, one of the things that's sort of driving us here is that veterans on this campus should be faced with a lot of very particular struggles that the rest of us can face. There is that barrier to inclusivity, each traveling with the experience gap. It's a very different lifestyle and approach to the world than it is from the military. And so, just being part of this community, having access to different opportunities, whether it's recognizing that there are intersectional identities, recognizing that you may be a veteran, and you might also have another identity. And then trying to find the organizations that you want to contribute to that you want to be a part of is very difficult. We don't have
that. Yeah. Actually, yeah, no, that's right. Olivia had a question.
Why are you guys looking for a non-voting position?
So, just to touch on that, we can sort of get this position on it for me. Was because when it comes to voting for representatives on this campus and in that large position, which is what this would be a position that anyone can vote. Considering there's only 23 veterans, the risk of having in that large position allows for a non-veteran to run for a seat. When you're a freshman on this campus, it's really easy to get enough votes to win that election, right? But with the ex officio position, it is important to social liaison, much like RSC is. And so that means that we both would be designating the organization of the liaison.
I concur.
Dale?
Not to make light of the whole situation, but for a fun statistics then, architectural planning students are 3% of the undergraduate population, yet they represent about 9% of our college seats in the student assembly. So we have about 2.5 too many race cars. But on a more serious note, this will be an organizational liaison, and historically that means if we don't have the student assembly executive board, there won't be diligent people requesting that this liaison gets sent to the assembly. And I was wondering if there's anything that, if this change gets made, you would want on bylaws that guarantees that somebody is reaching out, especially because the organization is so small, that every year the student assembly will request that this liaison gets sent and take the steps of this coalition. I'm just curious if there's anything else that you've mentioned in the bylaws about creating a better communication mechanism.
Well, I'm not too familiar with the inner workings of this organization, so I can't really comment on that, but I would envision that our position would kind of run indefinitely. I don't know if that's lived before. That's really all I can say about it.
And so my question is, if you do want to send something to the student assembly every year, is there anything that can be done on the student assembly tomorrow that we should request gets done every year to ensure that this individual is requested?
Well, I think I would recommend that every year we hold elections towards the beginning of April. And I believe that your guys' elections end at the end of
They're in March.
They're in March, but they don't, the positions don't start until June. Okay. Your liaison with the year.
Okay. So I would just hope that there would be some type of, you know, turnover for that, where we could have the current administrations of both parties just kind of maybe indoctrinate the, you know, their successors and then establish contact before the next school year starts.
My request is, if this does get passed by the student assembly, it would be greatly appreciated if you could put something in board documents that guarantees you hold an election for that season. That's because one of my worries is that, as we've seen in the past with RSC and the Department of Liaison, sometimes they forget that they have this position. And it's, sure, we believe it's important, so you should send something.
We plan on doing that.
Next, Lara.
Hi, I'm very glad that this resolution has come to the floor finally. And I just want to say that I greatly disagree with what Gabe's point was. Veterans on this campus have such a unique experience that no one can understand other than themselves, right? Across the U.S. in terms of undergraduate veterans, typically they're older, right? When we're in our freshman classes, those of us who've never been in the military, we are 18, 19-year-olds, and that's not the same experience, right? It's very different. Across the U.S., again, veteran students are more likely to be people with disabilities. So there are unique experiences that we do not have that lived experience, right? So how can we, like, advocate for something that we don't have no experience with? I'm very glad that this is finally come to the floor. And lastly, I want to take credit for what's on my little floor, that unfinished line, and I want to motion to strike all of my little floor.
Thank you for that answer. All right, all in favor of striking my little floor? That's a majority. That's a pretty embarrassing. Next is Zach.
Yeah, so I think this is a great cause, and I think in response to what Dale said, I think we should include a provision in the duties section of the bylaw for the Vice President of Internal Operations to add a specific line item for one of their official to contact all of SHIO members at the first organizational planning meeting in the spring before their term via email. I think that would kind of formalize it and make it enough for you to provide this.
Would we be able to, or I guess would that be just completely different resolution?
So my only question is, I don't know if the specific calendar is one, whether or not this resolution is going to get passed, which still has to be discussed. And then the calendars, RSC, each of the three Greek organizations are on, because we would want something that matches up with their calendars. If we are going to make such an amendment, we want something that works. And then I think it's a question of whether or not we in on IOC's job or external affairs job. So I don't think it should be in this resolution for multiple reasons. So, yeah.
Hi, thank you for bringing this up. And I just want to talk about a point that a lot of people think about. So it's about how like veterans are older and like there has to be like which is like one of the reasons that like you should have an extra year seat on the SA. Then I also want to talk about like people like international students in particular who come back from military service and are like older than other students. So I think it would be better if we have a seat that is for like that represents people coming back to Cornell from like a long group of absence instead of having like a specific seat for a small group, for example. So I think that would be a better way to approach this to cover like much more constituency through this.
So I'm just
going to
respond to that
real
quick. I understand that. But at the same time, I do think it's important to recognize that
on my DC report, but then again, I feel like if this were to be the case and we were to create an ex officio seat, I do feel that there is a need to create another ex officio seat for like people coming back from leaves of absences and like non-US citizens who are like serving in their own countries. And there is a need for them to be better represented on the SA. So I think that's definitely something that the SA should consider before voting for this.
That's a great point. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, managers, it was the broader group, but there's also a lot of Korean students in Israel. Korean students who have to go back to the country for 2 years. I don't know if that mentions that, but this is Mrs. Chris. Oh, yeah.
Just to be clear, our organization is not bound exclusively to United States veterans or its allies. It's just veterans in general. That's what it says. Laws, and so technically, all of those, at least that international students who serve in their respective countries, they are technically included in our organization. And so it's very possible that their representation would be reflected if they would show up to our meetings. We do try to reach out to veterans from all countries. But again, it's tough to get that data, especially because of how military service is perceived in other nations sometimes. For example, I remember the Johnson MBA veterans, they held a social at different dorm rooms and invited all of the veterans from all countries, all graduate students, and I forget what country it was, but there was some veterans there that went to the social and just didn't really understand why they were having this veterans collaboration. They just didn't really get why they were being recognized. And so it's kind of different here in the United States. And so, and really, even every veteran in general, even American veterans, sometimes they choose not to identify for maybe the military service wasn't, you know, they're trying to forget about it or whatever else. So, just to touch on that.
Are there any international students that are in CGA?
No.
Chris?
Just to add on to that, I do think that the whole purpose of being, like I was saying, for being represented on the assembly and as to the assembly, just to generate these connections, to generate the ability to reach out to other communities. And so when we think about the South African community, it's really important. We have members of the society that have great networks with those communities. That's something that we've decided on my background, that it's only a few of them have that, just because they're generated from the American origin. And so I think that that's just important to keep in mind for the South African
community.
International representatives, so if you're interested in getting in touch with like international veterans, I can help you with that.
Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I disagree with Dave's logic. It's sort of like a flying effect because this is obviously a very different group than a lot of other groups. I'm not going to expect a consulting club to be like, I want the ex officio seat. That's not their purpose. So I totally agree with the resolution, and I think that the assembly should support it.
Next is Natalia.
I just wanted to thank you for coming again. My point, I guess, probably what you said, I don't think that grouping all of these in one seat would be the best idea because they don't necessarily have the same experiences. I think having international students actually reach out to get that group on the phone would be a better idea. And I think it's a good solution. I think that this is an issue that I haven't followed, and I think it's so important to bring up now. So, yeah, thank you.
Next is Arco.
Hi. I'd like to voice my support for this resolution and for the window that I have opened for the student assembly. I really hope that after passing this resolution, we take steps toward representing the myriad of identities that members of the assembly don't identify with. And I know that it can be difficult for representatives like Gabe to find a justifiable reason for those voices in this assembly to
to represent non-traditional students because unfortunately, fresh out of high school, straight up being classified American Board students are very actively represented on this campus. And I just want to say that unfortunately, even in such a diverse group as this one, it's students like this that fall through the cracks in this representation. And I really do believe that the resolution will further allow us to do its job.
But just for future reference, could we refrain from our personal attacks? That's just a matter of.
I was a general overview.
You can make a general overview.
Motion to table is passed.
We do have a chamber on speakers.
It is.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's a
yeah, I'm gonna recognize this. What's that?
All right. So, I understand what you guys are trying to do, and I think the organization is important, but I don't think this is the best approach to it. To bring in more representation. I welcome you guys to come on the SAC, and I think the organization is important, but I don't think this is the best approach for David.
So, just to respond to that, David Cox was a previous representative on this assembly. He did a great job, he was a veteran as well. He was a veteran, but that wasn't his focus. He helped me, I've seen him over the years.
Was Cal's.
Right? So when you're in Cal's representative, the whole purpose of being a Cal's representative is to represent the Cal's, to represent the issues that Cal students face.
Is it a responsible question? No, I have 10 cents.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Like, I think a lot of people are kind of, so to address the point about proportional. Is it still on? Okay, it's on. If we were to, like I understand that the assembly is not perfectly proportionally, you know, represented, but like, just so that, like, to put this in context, like 23 people is like 0.16% of the student body. And like, if someone could just come up with an argument for like why Haven, Alana, ISU, and Women's Resource Center do not deserve organizational liaisons, then like I would retract my opinion and
so just ISU is sort of meant to be represented through the international standard, the international student representative. I'm not sure if we put it in the bylaws yet, but we did discuss required meeting attendance for the international representative.
The international representative is an automatic member of the ISU board. Yeah. I understand, but those are seats that are internal. Like, those are directly elected seats that we then like demand that they go to those meetings. So if we wanted to create like a better that we then like have go to CUVA meetings, like. That would at least be internally consistent with like what we currently do, and I could like better get on board with that. So this one, there's no precedent for this.
So I know we heard the discussion earlier that we've already explained this. The issue with that is that there are so many veterans in the current context of Cornell today. That doesn't mean that we were veterans in the future, but the issue is that we have someone that has pre-marketing potential. Can reach out to more communities because they already have access to those communities. And they can garner the votes and they can get the support and they can win an election and they would like to know anything about veterans. And that is a very plausible idea when it comes to this in particular. And I think that's really important for that.
That's a risk with like any seat that we create. That's just a problem with creating new seats.
Okay.
I want to say something because you might not realize this, but when the LGBT rep was originally created, members of the community or opposed to the LGBT community attempted to run the seat to get it kicked off the assembly. I think that's something that women's also trying to prevent with this case because there could be an individual that does that, is warped in the head and doesn't want them a veteran's seat on the assembly. So I think this is a good first step to do so because it's clearly understandable. So on that motion table.
I'm gonna table this. All right, thank you guys. So next week this is I thank you guys for coming. I will go directly to this today. Regarding resolution 28, Zach Schmitter, one of the sponsors of the resolution, is calling for a revote. Because he wants to add an amendment.
We thought we could better improve our recommendation on how to deal with the issue of distressed debt and countries being improperly treated in an inappropriate creditor situation. So when we look at the resolve clauses, the second one from the bottom where it says the University Office of Investments created a new policy preventing affiliated investment partnerships from coercing the repayment on government debt above the market terms offered to all investors. So that statement kind of intends to call for the Board of Trustees Investment Committee to tell the Office of University Investments some general guidelines so they can develop a formal policy to address this. The statement in the resolution is a little bit vague. It really doesn't provide that specific recommendation. So what needs to be said in motion actually set in motion. So in the Slack, I recommended another amendment. I'll read it out formally. The amendment that I'm proposing, and we have all the other sponsors agree to changing this to, it's just a simple quick fix. It's essentially just adding the Board of Trustees Committee creates the guidelines to tell the office, because that's how the official policy for investment works. And the amendment here also says direct university investments as well as partnerships, so it specifies a more broad range of investments, and it recommends a review of existing investments as well as some guidance for future investments. So really it's just clarifying this as well as just making it more clear what should be done in terms of like the issue with Puerto Rico as well as potential future situations. These hedge funds can create a similar situation in Greece, potentially happen in the future. So it's just kind of a more general statement calling for the trustees and the investment committee to review this. So with that kind of said in the background on that, motion to reconsider SA resolution 28.
For motion, on the resolution.
We don't have the SA Slack, and in order to get this language, if you could just email that to the SA listeners, we shouldn't have it. Everybody, and I'm assuming everybody else has the language, or would be helpful to put it up on the screen. I just want to make sure everybody has the language that you're talking about.
Zach, can you, so when you make a motion, can you specify the average line and what actually
means? Right, yeah. So I was just giving an overview now, so people, this is what I was doing before I was making a motion. I'll read the exact text into the mic and then subsequently. Yeah, we'll have that. I just wanted to make sure everyone kind of knew what was going on. So that no like substantive changes being made without kind of full review. So yeah, motion to reconsider SA resolution 28.
All those in favor? All those against? Abstentions? Okay.
So we'll move into a following motion to strike the existing text on lines 48, 49, and 50, and to replace that be it further resolved clause starting on line 48. So we can start line 48 with be it further resolved, comma, the Cornell Board of Trustees Investment Committee create distressed government debt investment guidelines for the Office of University Investments to effectively review existing investments and partnerships, as well as guide subsequent investments in order to prevent and mitigate exploitative creditor relationships, such as the situation of coerced repayment above the market terms offered to all investors, semicolon. So motion to strike lines 48 to 50 and replace them, given line 48 with the amendment just stated.
All those in favor? All those against? Abstentions? Okay.
Do we need to vote for the passage again?
Alright, that's 22-021 it passes.
Alright, yes. Most of you.
All those in favor of passing this resolution as the okay. So we're gonna vote. This is to vote on the resolution. All those against? All right, so all those in favor, raise your hands. All those against? Abstentions?
Chair abstains. Mr. Hill.
Plus the proxy, so that's 18-1-2, it passes. Thanks, Seth.
All right, thank you so much for somebody's clarification. I mean, given kind of the strict guidelines regarding divestment, I think having another recommendation in there will just help the issue overall and bring more attention and more reform to this. So thank you for taking the time to do this.
All right, thank you. Next is Resolution 29, from the sponsor.
So, while we're still like moving towards Resolution 29, I just wanted to touch upon what just happened. The whole reason that we had to do this was because of a discussion that happened after the resolution was passed, like literally a week after. Now, the issue with this is it's just a waste of time, right? So, when there's general consensus on a concept or an idea, there's no reason to continue hammering down that. Right? That just wastes everyone's time. So what I'm trying to say is that it's very important to use the time that we have here to question the authors of the resolution, to focus on the specific content, and to make sure that you actually understand what will happen when this resolution passes. Like, it's great when you understand the general idea of something, but it's very important when we're dealing with particular resolutions to understand the actual things that are suitable. So when it comes to like DSP, we always talk about data points. If you say something and someone says the same thing over again, it's a change. Same number of data points, right? So in order to prevent this in the future, to order to prevent people from getting the scoring those points, we'll start recognizing the concept of moving into discussion on a particular item. So when we're discussing a resolution, you can move into discussion on a particular piece of that resolution. And generally, as the chair, will have the ability to recommend. And if someone is out of order when we are discussing that, then Drunk can just stop. But that's it.
Thank you very much, David.
So one quick point on the following. You also all have the power to yield your time to either the chair or someone else. Just because you were on the speaker's list, just because you've been waiting 20 minutes to talk, when it comes to you, you don't have anything to say, you should feel free to yield that time. No one's pressuring you to talk. And concerning this, I'm going to motion to table this and provide myself 30 seconds to discuss the history of sponsorship and some of the resolutions in that order. So not discuss the resolution, discuss the history of the table. So I move to table this.
Second. All right. We will table this.
And then if I got 30 seconds briefly just to discuss separate from the content of the resolution, I do want to quickly discuss that historically, student assembly resolutions have been able to be sponsored primarily by and only by voting members of the student assembly. Over the past 3 to 4 years, a very short period of time, that's a huge change. Now that we have student assembly committee chairs that are not student assembly members, they have, without really any spoken language on the subject, been allowed to sponsor resolutions. And there is nothing in any of our documents that says who can or can't sponsor resolutions. That can of worms got even bigger when the language that's listed on this resolution from lines 24 to 28, that language did not exist before the fall of 2016. When that language was added, that pretty much implied that non-student assembly members have the power and the right to bring resolutions to the board of the student assembly using what Representative Crawford called a discharge petition method, which is functionally what this is, although the resolution doesn't actually have to be in a committee before this happens. So this resolution was brought up by Omar and myself following Omar because there is confusion in their minds about who has the power, the right, and the privilege to sponsor resolutions. I don't necessarily believe the exact language here is what needs to be in their documents, but something needs to be in their documents that clarifies who holds that power. And that's why this resolution is up for, and we'll discuss it more next week.
Thank you. Resolution 30.
Signed onto, but it's a formal document that was that was given to AFSCOM, and it was under the assumption that it was going to be honored. However, last year, with just within informal discussions between the former VP IOPS and the former VP Finance and their transition, and then Gabe's transition, the conversation kind of got lost. And so this is just setting this in stone that we are recommending AFSCOM to do this. AFSCOM is by no means bound to this, but it is something that we recommend them to consider.
Next is Olivia.
Yeah, so I had a similar question, which was, well, I had two questions, which was, so it's not, is it written down anywhere, or is it just kind of a verbal agreement? So that's my first question. And then the second question is, I understand that because they didn't want to put an undue burden on the students, but why should the students be able to put these things to be involved? Is it still money, but it's not as much?
So for answering your second question, I think that would obviously been the better route at the time, right? But we are 8 years from that time, and we can't really go back. But as for the verbal agreement, it was a letter, so it's a formal like letter overview of what JFAR at the time did. It's pretty long, it's in Slack, so you can look over it. And it just has a preface saying that hopefully some years down the line we would have to collect signatures.
Okay, next is Gabe.
So thanks for bringing this up, and I know that we've had a number of conversations about this, but before we really, I just want to say, like, I'm sorry that my predecessors or other people's predecessors weren't able to follow through with this. What I do want to say is that FARC is a pending fee when it gets amended in the spring of these 7 years. And so I can tell you right now, on line 345 of the student assembly charter, you can take that to the bank literally. Like, we are going to put into the amended appendix B, we're going to put in that if FARC applies for funding as a separate organization, it will be exempt from the requirement that it is required to get 1,500 signatures. So, I don't think we need to pass this. Like, we're going to put it in. If the appropriations committee, for some reason, disagrees with me and you on this and decides not to put it in, then when they recommend the Appendix B amendments to the assembly can just vote to put those into Appendix B. So I don't see why we're doing this, but we're going to do it. I appreciate that it came before, having a discussion about it, but I don't know why we need to approve a resolution to send a recommendation to me for something that we're going to do. And if you don't do it, then you can literally make an amendment on the floor and do it yourself if you don't. That's the first thing. So that's something. I feel like that's something else I want to say. That's what I had to say. I might be forgetting something.
Okay, thank you, David. Would you like to respond or to move on to?
Okay, that's great. I guess in that case, we could just pass this, we'll discuss it resolve, and just make an amendment say we have an acts on the core business appendix B just to make sure it actually does happen. We just don't have a verbal promise. So, we can literally just all resolve that when the appendix B amendments hit the floor in a couple weeks or a month or so, or when they hit the floor, which is 100% good. If you can make the motion, if for some reason I don't do what I promised to do, if I don't follow through, you can literally make the motion to add whatever language you want. And I assume the student assembly, if they pass this, they would approve your language. So this is just a redundant resolution. I think we should pay for it definitely, not because we don't support it, but just because we don't need to pass a resolution to send it to the president to tell them that we recommend it to a committee. That's the chair and all the members of our sitting here that we're going to do something. That's just needless bureaucracy. I think we can just dispatch this and resolve to do it because we're going to do it. So, motion to table indefinitely.
Did you decide?
So my issue to tabling this is that I just don't trust people enough, unfortunately. Like in the sense that, like, I do trust you as an individual, but I don't trust the organizational capacity of coming to this assembly. Like, in the sense that, like, it literally took a month to attack you individually, but, like, it took you, like, a month to send me one of those other sites. And so, based off of that, I would just rather have this as a backup. And the other issue, too, is, like, if Meyer doesn't show up, or if, like, Chris doesn't show up, and someone pretends to discuss something with the resolutions, like, it is an issue because newer members of this assembly, it's a lot of information to come through, and a lot of new members of this assembly may not help them that. Like, I might not help them that. I might go over my head. So, I just think that it's beneficial to pass it on.
All right, so you still make the intervention?
Yeah.
All right, we're not going to vote. Okay, so we have to vote. I'll just deal with you a little bit differently.
Okay, so that's
going to
be
yes. I was against. Abstentions? Alright, this is 5-11-2. We lost like 5 members. Okay, failed, but we're missing people. So we're going to go back to discussion. Next is ours. Who? Okay. She just gave it. Okay. All right. There's going to be a motion to vote. All those in favor? No. This is in favor of the resolution. This is in favor of voting. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is not in favor of passing the resolution. All those against? All those against. Alright, abstentions. Alright. 16-1-4 passes. Okay, regardless. We are done with this is the day. We will go into additional announcements reports. We have a list of people that are reporting today. Alright, so GPS is not meetings. If we have the list of the liaisons. Okay. Sam. Alright, UA is Chris. Can you give us an update on what's going on? We didn't do it before.
So we have the Texas Infrastructure Committee. Not too many people showed up. It's like hard to find the time with the employees. But we're trying to recruit more members, so that's why I made the announcement here. I'm reaching out to various of our mountain clubs to see if they want to get on board. I mentioned the 7-8 initiatives that we're considering for the semester. As far as the university assembly goes, I'm going to use the jobs if he has a more knowledge.
Wait, can you repeat that? What did you say?
I'm yielding to Joel to talk about the affairs of the university assembly because I missed half of the last meeting because I had a meeting for another.
Okay, yeah. Next week.
Next is CJC reports.
So some updates on the Judicial Committee of the University Assembly. We met yesterday and we passed a small amendment to that resolution about the university last week. Come up again this Tuesday. If you're at all concerned about the future of how the judicial district will work from now, it's probably important that you attend Tuesday's meeting and see what any way is going to recommend and follow further developments as the semester continues. In terms of the University Assembly's Code of Judicial Committee, hate speech for Cooper. First real meeting of that will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. That's the committee that we put Travis and Carlton on. And if you're interested at all in how the developments are going with adding possible language concerning hate speech to the campus code of conduct, you might want to attend that. It is tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Van Library. If you go to a specific room, it should be somewhere on the center of the website.
Thank you. Shivani, can you give us an update on RSA?
Natalia wrote a resolution from the LLC to create a uniform standard for ice machines across all our campus dorms.
But there's one proposal.
It's a uniform ice machine policy so that every resident's hall can be here to use that ice machine. And the residents don't have to go to other halls to make ice.
Oh, for the ID?
No, ice.
For what? Oh, ice, okay. I can't hear
that's what we do. Thank you. Okay.
The audio title. All right, next is Campus Welfare Committee. Chris?
Oh, okay. Why am I here? We did a meeting this past Tuesday, it was great, but what have we been doing? Well, we sponsored a resolution. Well, Linda and myself, the Campus Committee, we sponsored a resolution to reinstate the Budget Planning Committee for the university. We also sponsored another resolution looking at LGBTQ inclusion, but that resolution has traction in other ways, so the resolution is not done with it. Really, we're still in the process of planning the tobacco referendum, and we have very solid dates, almost, hopefully. Praying that it works this time. We canceled it last semester because of the whole deal that happened, because we didn't want to jam all of the things together. We had to use a really close issue, which is traveling across campus. So you'll probably be getting an email reaching out about that from myself in the office soon. We have a lot of members, especially really cool meetings, but thanks, I guess.
Thank you. Next is Ian for the campus leadership committee. What's
up?
For the third time.
We did meet it's a great Friday. On Sunday we're meeting we're discussing two resolutions, one for gospel piracy and another for transportation back to the and that's a big stuff that I presented to the campus committee.
This is Lee for Thad. Thad is a transportation here in the paper.
This is actually a great meeting. We meet on the first Thursday of every single year. Amazing.
He has a floor.
The transportation group. We kind of just went over an overview of what Thad does. Is anyone here familiar with Thad? Yes. So FAB is the Transportation Yearly Advisory Board, and what they basically do is someone gets a car and take it out right now, and they appeal it. And then you appeal it again. You may appeal it a third time, and it goes to the Yearly Advisory Board, and then we look at it, and then you make the final decision. And
very important job.
You'd like to talk to you about that.
Zach has a question.
Hi, Lee. I have a relevant question regarding my recommendations students or the assessment can give to this committee. So, my experience partnering around campus, I don't really understand the signs with like the sun and the moon and all the others. And like sometimes it makes sense. And I think I did it. It seems like there's so many different signs and different lots and different spaces. Is there any way they can just label this better or write on the sign, maybe like a sentence describing it or just something? It's very unclear to me. I've been on this campus for 4 years, and other people get to campus, they just don't know, like, what area of the lot they're parking in. And you can just pull into a lot, and there's 20 different signs in the lots describing different times on each spot.
You don't know which spot
applies to which sign. Is this an issue that has been addressed? Because personally, I still don't know.
It's not been addressed yet, but I'll make sure to bring it up.
How often do you guys meet?
First Thursday. So it's actually there's one position open for undergrad and two for grad students. So if anyone else wants to serve in this community, you can more than happy to serve.
All right, sounds good. Zach's interested. This is good.
Have you ever seen Willy Wonka at a Taco Factory?
Yes.
I feel like I'm Willy Wonka, you're Charlie, and you just handed me the gobstopper, and I totally distrust you as a Taco Factory. So good job going through this.
I think Dale had it, but should not be.
Dale also had something to recommend this episode.
Oh, just saying, you're the primarily is an appeals board, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think, Zach, if you are interested in having infrastructure changes on campus, you'd be better off going to the board or even meeting with the recommendation. That is
actually the point. I will say that I've done this, the French guy is just not around, he's transportation, and one of the deal is
thanks.
Transportation.
Very, very cool.
So, Lee, could you reach out to Mark on behalf of Zach and provide the concerns of the student body to Mark?
Absolutely.
Good job, Lee. This is Shibai.
Two updates. One, so we all made it the master housing plan, how they're building new dorms on like above Appel Fields, roughly speaking. So there is a housing forum hosted by Gabby Lombardi next Tuesday, I believe. If anyone's interested in that, you can just catch me on the details. You can ask me questions about how that's happening, or you can send me an email at sp7. Oh, okay. And then the other thing is that, so y'all may or may not know, but Asian American students are the only racial minority students on campus that do not have their own housing. So we are currently working on investigating whether there's community interest for Asian American LOU, because the only space that we currently have is the Asian American Center as a student. So that's very good for us.
Did you say you guys are exploring the program house for Asians?
It'll be most likely one floor of a dorm, because that's more in line with other universities like Government and Chris College.
That's a good idea. Just one question. Is that going to be part of the professor housing plan?
So we're gauging community interest. If we're going to try to pass a resolution that doesn't just be named on Monday, and then we would present the resolution that is passed at the housing forum on Tuesday. So we're kind of under a crunch, because this opportunity will come again for the next 2 years. So we're trying to.
Great. Thank you.
So I was just wondering if that was Shivani. Thank you. So I was wondering if this was in regard, or I was wondering if there would be separate plans for South Asians and East Asians, just because I do wonder, like, I'm just wondering like what you guys are doing regarding that, because the communities are very different. That's why there's two different umbrella organizations.
Yeah, so as of right now, the model that's used at other universities is Pan-Asian, which is inclusive of South Asians. Some ideas that have come up in terms of how the space would be deprecated. So if anyone's been to the Latino Living Center, they have flags of all the countries put up around the dorm. So that's like one idea. And then one student or potential student members had an idea, like, you know, some word boards that have like it's a thought thing, and it's like, okay, the word, like, I don't know, bed, and they have like sheets, and then all those associated. That you get like welcome, but like in all of these Asian languages, so like in this way, like a visual representation of all of these cultures would also be incorporated into what this space would look like, so that way it would be more affirmed that this is not just for East Asian students, but South and Southeast Asian students as well.
All right, so next is Chris for the faculty senate. I'm going to create a professional status. Oh, we have that.
All right. I also am not this. I don't think I can operate any
of these. Okay. We'll call it.
Yeah.
So you're also once again for the Faculty Senate Academic Programs and Policies Committee.
Awesome.
Yes, I think it's like a faculty staff member as well. So Evan should be here to hear the video. The Education Policy Committee for the Faculty Senate. Okay, Zach, the Faculty Advisor Committee on Athletic and Physical Education.
Yeah, I've never received a single email or communication. And also, I'm unclear if I'm legally allowed, to be appointed to that position here. I'm just not sure. I've never received any communication. Am I even allowed to be on that? Well, I've never received a single email from that. And I've checked many times. Well, awesome.
Okay, now, Alex.
On the point of emails, I used to receive emails from the financial aid and issues working group, and those just ceased in November, I think, and I never received those emails, so I was going to investigate.
Okay, so apparently this happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mitch McBride. All right, classic. All right, is Alex Chowdhury here? No, okay. I was looking forward to the music community, but Renee's not here, Travis is not here. All right, for the Consensual Relationship Policy Committee, Joe? Renee's not here, Shashira or Grace? I want to be coming on.
So,
they're coming next week.
I asked Dale to meet you from the committee because I have a class conference, so I'll be.
What? Okay, that's fine. All right, Sam and Rose are here, and we are done. All right, so with that, I will adjourn the meeting into executive session. Yes.
Okay, so this part can be heard by the public, even though we're now in executive session, so we're not under the assembly.